relax a little bit. The name of this lesson, God's Curse on the Secret Crafts of Whoredom. The Bible warns us in the Old Testament and the New Testament, stay away from this and don't have anything to do with it. And of course, man does exact opposite what God says. In Proverbs chapter 23, it says, in verse 10, it says, "Remove not the landmarks and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. For their Redeemer is mighty. He shall plead their cause with thee." This verse might not sound like it fits, but when we get finished, it does fit. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I can't do this by myself, Lord. I can't teach anything, Lord, without your help, Lord. I pray that the Holy Spirit endows me with the gift of teaching and that the ears will be open and people will understand what I'm trying to, what you're trying to get across, Lord. Lord, it's very important in this day and age that we're living in, for asking the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This lesson is going to be about deep state, who they are, what they are, and why we're in such a mess today. An unknown author said, "An understanding of the forces that have shaped the event of the 20th century is predicated not on facts to be learned, but rather on secrets to be discovered." Everything is a secret. And if I don't have your email address, give it to me. I'll send you stuff that will just absolutely amaze you. Another author says, an unknown author, "Men and women become complicit to evils they fail to oppose." And a lot of times we don't even know what we're supposed to oppose because no one reads the Bible. "Americans are being controlled by the news they receive and the news we're not allowed to hear." Galatians chapter 3 verse 1 says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should obey, should not obey the truth?" That's where we are today. You have the truth right here, but no one wants to read it. And then when someone comes up with something else that they believe that's not biblical, they're convincing enough to where you believe it. Because like I said, 90% of what people know about the Bible is what someone else told them. And what they knew about the Bible is what someone else told them. We look at Simon the sorcerer. He used demonic magic to control people, just like what's going on today. And you say, where's the magic? It's in your cell phone, your TV. Our opinions are based mostly on our electronic devices. Acts chapter 8, verse 11 says, "And to him they had regard because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries." He was using pharmaceuticals to bewitch the people. And we'll talk about him a little bit later. The Lord is showing the world right now that judgment is coming. It's already started, basically. The other day, we got 7 inches of rain in one night. That's half the rain for a year. And then you got flash floods, and then out west you got droughts. Extreme droughts. Droughts that are going to last for 10 years. and they're already running out of water. In Mexico, I saw a map the other day that showed a reservoir over in Mexico that's the largest reservoir that they have. It helps give them water to Mexico City. It was dry. And they're expecting next month to be hotter than this month. And they're expecting the cold to be colder than we've ever had. We're seeing wars. We're seeing displaced populations, starvation. The secret crafts known, these secret crafts know that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back soon. They probably know your Bible better than you do. And they're preparing. They want to create an atmosphere or a world that's not worth coming back to. That's logical thinking in their part, isn't it? But they don't care. They're all about serving their master, Lucifer. Before man's sin can come, before the man of sin can come, I gotta slow down. Humanity has to be completely without water, without food, without any hope, and that's when this Antichrist is going to show up. The church will be removed, and those that have heard a clear gospel of Jesus Christ and rejected it will fall into deception and believe a lie. Some people think that that's not going to happen, but it will. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3 says, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." The falling away. I've had a lot of letters. Well, do you think the falling away is this, or do you think the falling away is that, or do you think the falling away is... And I write them and tell them the same thing, what the Bible says. The falling away happened a long time ago. We're just a remnant. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 9 says, "When thou art come to the land," he's talking to Israel, before they go into the land, he was warning them, "which the Lord God hath given thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations." What were their abominations? "There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son, his daughter, to pass through the fire," killing your babies, "or that uses divination, or the observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch." Man, our country's full of witches. "Or charmers, or consulters of familiar spirits." Sounds familiar, doesn't it? "Or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, because of these abominations the Lord thy God doth drive them out before thee." That's what was in the promised land before Israel got there. And God had to move them out. "Get out of my land." And he brought his people in. With a warning, do not pick up their teachings, their habits, their crafts. Stay away from it. Don't get near it. When I'm teaching this lesson, when I'm studying this lesson, I have to look at stuff. I don't want to go there. I don't like this stuff. I'm not afraid of it. I've been around it for a long time. I grew up with it. I'm not afraid of it, But I know where to keep the boundaries at. When our Constitution was written, the writers gave a warning to Americans. Here's your Constitution. This Constitution will only work with free, Christian, Bible-believing people. It won't work with other religions, only with Bible believers. That's how it was set up. There were no Catholics, per se, in this country. They didn't have a large group of Catholics. When our forefathers came over here from Europe, they had a restriction on Catholics. And the reason being, they didn't want to have Catholics come in and take over the country and be run by the Pope, like South America and Mexico and all these other third world countries. They had 65 anti-Catholic days a year, holidays. That sounds crazy now. But our forefathers knew what was going to happen if this came over. They also warned about the Jesuits. But shortly after the Constitution was signed and put into effect, the attack began. The same time, the Philadelphia church age was coming to an end, and the Laodicea church age was coming in. Philadelphia church was one of those churches that God has nothing bad to say about it. And if you're a Bible-believing, God-fearing, you love the King James Bible, you love the Lord, you're part of that Philadelphia church age. It started in the 1900s, and it's a remarkable how close the 1700s, you think the 1900s would have been, you know, full of revivals, and it was, but at the same time, there was a lot of attacks going on. It started with the theory of evolution. In 1929, or 1829 to 1920, or 59, and now it's taught as facts, not a theory. Mormonism. You say, what's Mormonism got to do with it? It started in 1820. It said that Jesus Christ failed and that Joseph Smith was going to have to pick up the baton and carry it on. And people believed it. It's an occult. It's based on Freemasonry. Sigmund Freud in 1856 started the psychoanalysis. It's not your fault. You're not a sinner. It's your environment. And then communism, socialism in 1840. Bible revision started in 1881 to 1885. It wasn't accepted. Most churches wouldn't allow it in their pulpits, but then it started creeping in. Jehovah Witnesses in 1870. And here's a big one. The Great Irish Potato Famine in 1845, just in time for the Civil War. The Catholics dumped 2.1 million Catholics on the shores of America. And the Catholic Church got a stronghold. We had immigration laws that protected our shores. No one except Christians, Protestants, could come to America. But that was broken in 1963 with the Beatles and rock and roll. They brought the drug culture, and they also brought Hinduism into America. From that point on, America has been plummeting. The morality of America has dropped dramatically. The floods and the gates of hell had opened in America. We have been at war, and I want you to look this up because I'm not lying to you. Since 1776, America has been in perpetual war all over the world. From the Civil War, it cost so much money that when the Civil War was over with, our Congress and our Senate signed us into slavery with Rome. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 7 says, "When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies at peace with him." So why aren't we at peace? God bless America. I say, God have mercy on America. Even our weather is at war with us. The West has a 10-year drought. The East is experiencing extreme weather. Those poor people in Kentucky, over 19 are dead. There are probably a lot more. Some they will never find. The New World Order is running America. I don't know if you know that or not, but that's who's running America. They're telling our farmers and European farmers and farmers all over the world to destroy your crops or you won't get paid. And there's a lot of protests going on. I don't know if it's covered on the news. I don't watch the news. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 38 says, "A drought is upon her water, and they shall be dried up. For the land of graven images, and they are mad upon their idols." And that's, you say, well, where's the idols in America? Where aren't they? All you have to do is pick up your phone and look at it. That's your idol. If you spend more time reading your playing with your phone than you do with the Word of God, that's an idol. If you're watching your TV set more than you read your Bible, that's an idol. You're spending more time with other things than with God. And America should be, American Christians should be in prayer for their country and for their little ones. That's who's at risk. That's who they want. For centuries, this country's been controlled by evil forces bent on the destruction of the Church of God. In the beginning, the secret government allows men to speak of God, but it was only so that they could infiltrate and get on the right side and get in and start destroying. That's what the Jesuits have done for years. That's why we have so many denominations and so many splits. Just like Judas Iscariot, just like the damsel that followed Paul around saying, "These are the servants of the Most High God. They bring us salvation." And you think, well, that's a good thing. No, it's not. Not when you're, God will not share his glory with a demon, a devil. So Paul rebuked her, cast the demon out, and then they want to kill him. Just like most politicians, they bewitch the people to get their votes. They tell them what they want to say. They give them what they want. And it's amazing how these same politicians, after a couple years in service, have such disdain for the people that they're paid to serve. Years ago, I went to an inauguration for the second President Bush. If I'd known then what I know now, I would never went. But I walked around D.C. with my son Aaron, and I found not one thing that was related to Christ. It was all pagan. There was nothing Christian there. And this is supposed to be a Christian nation. But if there was anything, it's been removed. And we got this big old obelisk right there in the middle. And if you ever looked at the way Rome is set up, and you look at the Capitol building and the pond in front, and then you got the obelisk behind it, is set up just like Rome. It's identical. We got the same spirit. Only the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ can break the spell of these devils. And it's not being preached the way it should be. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to believe in the death, burial, and resurrection. That's the gospel. That's what the Bible says. You don't have to give up anything. All you have to do is trust Him. Then God will do the rest. Look at me. A mess before I got saved. And it didn't happen overnight, but it gradually brought me closer and closer and closer to Him, to the point where I can't go a day. If I go a day without reading my Bible, I got to at least read a verse. I got to at least get into a little bit. Christians need to remember, we are not the people of the world. We're pilgrims. This ain't our home. We're just a passing through. Don't get comfortable. We're about to go home. Exodus chapter 7, verse 11 talks about the two sorcerers that withstood Moses. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobates concerning the faith." And that's what is running our country. God, the devil gives this power to whomever he will. God, Jesus Christ, didn't argue with him. He knew it was true. Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for our sins, but he also bought back. He'll claim it soon, and he's coming. He'll come back, but not without us. The devil is a great imitator of God. When the Antichrist comes, no one will be able to tell the difference. Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, he says, "There shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect." Now, when it talks about false prophets here, we're going to see that again in the Old Testament. And what it did to Israel when they listened to these false prophets. Millions died. When the first settlers came to this country, if you ever read anything about what they wrote about how much witchcraft. And I know that this is taboo in most churches. They don't want to talk about witchcraft and all that stuff. That's why we're in the condition we're in, because no one knows anything. And they don't know what to look for, and they don't know what to guard their families from. Because I don't know how many times I listen to the television set while I'm in there studying, while my little daughters are there, they'll turn on certain programs, and I'm listening to it, and I thought, that ain't right. And I'll go in there and turn it off. And they're socialists, they're communists, they're witches. It's all geared to bringing your child under the spell of Satan. That's why they want your kids to go to college after they get out of high school, so they can indoctrinate them into these occult beliefs. There's a lot of stuff out there that would fool most Christians. Like they show all these, let's get off track, but they show all these demagogues. And they show, well, this one's like Christ, and this one's, and Christ is just an imitation of this God here in the past, and this God over here is just like, and they're just imitating this God over here and this God over here, and they're just bringing it all together and trying to say, you know, see, this is all nuts. It's all happened before, and it's happened again. The only problem is they don't tell you they're all originated from one person, Nimrod. They don't tell you that it Semiramis and Tomos, it all originated with them. They were the first to try to imitate what was going to come, and it didn't work. God destroyed their kingdom. Then Jesus Christ, almost 2,000 years later, shows up. And he's not an imitator. He did everything that he was supposed to do according to the scriptures. Matthew chapter 24. I think I already covered that. In Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 14, it says, "For these nations which thou shalt possess, hearken unto observer of times, unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee to do so." God's telling his people, do not get involved with this witchcraft. Do not allow familiar spirits. And this is going to be hard on some people. But I believe the Bible. I believe this. Amen. I don't believe dreams. I don't believe visions. I don't believe anything but that. And if you have a dream or you have a vision, keep it to yourself. Because if it's contrary to this word, and 95% of the time when someone talks, I can tell if it's biblically based. Just like that little boy a few years ago that said he died and went to heaven. And I told everybody at work, that's not true. I said, don't waste your time on that book. It's a lie. And he goes, and they, oh, it's so good, you know. What he describes, oh, it's so wonderful. And then 10 years later, they come out and say, well, it was a lie. He faked it. The world, the church has been fighting the wrong wars. It needs to stand up against the spirit of compromise. And that's what we're doing. In the middle of the 20th century, the new versions of the Bible came out and were accepted in the churches. And now your King James Bible in most churches is considered a disease of the mind if you believe this book. Jeremiah chapter 27 verse 9 says, "Therefore hearken unto your prophets, hearken not unto your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to the enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon." That cost him millions. Only around 7,000 Jews went into Babylon. The rest of them were destroyed or dispersed. And then in 70 AD, the same thing happened. They went up against Rome and they were listening to their prophets, and millions were killed and dispersed throughout the world. Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 8 says, "For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dream." When you talk about people telling you stuff that's going to happen, like our government telling you all this stuff that's going to happen, they're creating the situation to fulfill their prophecy. We're going to have food shortage. Everybody should stock up on food. Hey, you farmers out there, stop growing your food. Manly P. Hall stated in his book on Freemasonry, and I don't have anything against Freemasons. I really don't. Some of my best friends are Freemasons. But they have to remember there's two Freemasonries out there. And Manly P. Hall writes, Freemasonry is a fraternity within a fraternity. There's two of them. The outer organizations conceals the inner brotherhood of the elect. And when it talks about elect, that means that they're generational offsprings. This thing goes back generations after generations. This satanic worship goes back generations and generations. Unlike most Christians, some of us never had anybody that was saved before they got saved. But it's a generational thing that goes way back. I knew of one guy that he said he was a 10th generational Satanist. It is necessary to establish the existence of these two separate yet interdependent orders, the one visible and the other invisible. The visible society is a splendid camaraderie of free, accepted men enjoined to devote themselves to ethical, educational, fraternal, patriotic, and humanitarian concerns. Sounds pretty good. The invisible society is a secret and most august fraternity whose members are dedicated to the service of the mysteries of Arcanum, a secret or mystery. And basically, when you get into this stuff, you find out it's all satanic. Each generation, only a few are accepted in this inner sanctuary of the work. This inner circles are demon-possessed that have given power to do Satan's bidding. And that's how evil this thing is. And we see how evil it is. Most Masons don't understand the purpose of the craft or the inner circle. They don't understand it. They've never really done any studying on it. They just know that they belong to a group of pretty good guys. I was at a church. I belonged to a church. Everyone was a Mason. When I was at work, I got up to as high as I could go because I was not a Mason. Global elitists do not want their own to be exposed for what they are. So it's very secret. But people have squealed, whistleblowers. Jeffrey Epstein was one of them. He's just a soldier. Then you got the Barclays and the J.P. Morgans, and you got the Goldman Sachs. Then you have the Skulls and Bones. Man, you ought to read about this. This is pretty frightening. Skulls and Bones is also known as the Order, the Brotherhood of Death, and the American Establishment. It was established in 1833 or 1832 in Germany. Who was in power in? Was it Hitler? Is Hitler connected to this? You better believe it. In 322 is the number for the organization. It's Genesis chapter 322 is where they get this number. A German secret society. It has maintained its occult traditions and secret oaths and practices. Prescott Bush was one of the members. In 1933, he tried to take down the American government and establish Hitler's policies here in America. So what does the American people do? They elect his sons and his grandson as president of the United States. We don't learn nothing from history. People don't listen. People don't learn. And people make the same mistakes over and over again. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7, the rich ruleth over the poor, and borrowers is the servant of the lenders. America has allowed themselves to go into debt, not to the American government, but to the Federal Reserves, another secret society. Zechariah chapter 10, verse 2 says, for the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore, they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. Boy, we ain't got no shepherd today, do we? Men today are led by their electronic devices. So what's going to happen? Haggai chapter 1, verse 11. God says, and I called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labors of the hands. Boy, we're seeing that today. Woo! Man, instead of calling on God, they call on the government. FEMA, come and help me. Where's our faith? When something goes wrong, I hope everyone here, and I'm pretty sure everyone here, gets on their face and cries out to God and says, Lord, I need help. And God will help you. I remember one time I was working for this company that they were just making my life miserable. I was a supervisor. They were making my life miserable. I was the youngest guy there. I was only 25. And they had a lot of older guys, and they were trying, everything that went wrong was my fault. You ever been in that position where everything's come down on you and you don't know what the heck they're talking about? But everything was your fault. And I was praying. I said, Lord, I need help. I don't know what's going on here. I didn't know what a scapegoat was at the time. But I learned real quick what one was. And God's, you know, I said, Lord, find me another job. And then I went to work, and this Jew friend of mine, I might have told you this story, he was very smart man, real smart. And he knew that, you know, if you got a little Jewish blood in you and you get around other Jews, you're the buddy. You are. They connect with you. And I was telling him stuff about my faith, and he was telling me about what he believed. And he gave me a lot of books to look up my genealogy and all that stuff. But anyway, get short, he came to me and says, Dave, he says, I know what they're doing to you. And this is what you need to do. So I did it. But I already done it before that. He says, they're going to call you into a meeting with DOE. And when you get there, you better have your paperwork ready. I said, okay. I didn't even know what he was talking about. But I grabbed my files, and it was about that thick, because I wrote a report on everything. I learned a long time ago, document, document, document. So I came in there, and I threw that pile of paper on the table, and they sit down there, and they said, on this particular date, and this time, you know, did this happen? I go, yeah. Why did you do that? I said, I was told to do that. And I pulled out that documentation. I put it, he says, do you have any documentation? I said, yeah. So I put it out. And I said, here. I said, there's his signature and the date and what he told me to do. And they said, Mr. Valance, my Jewish friend was telling me, Mr. Valance, you're free to go. I said, thank you, sir. So I left. Next day, I had a new manager. And I finished the time there. And then, years later, they were finished with that project, and they said, Mr. Valance, DOE handed me a letter. Said, Mr. Valance, you show up at this place at this time, and you got a job. I was thinking, wow, that's a better job I had. Paid twice as much. And that's what God did for me. So if you have a problem, go to the Lord, ask him for help. He will help you. If he helps me, he'll help anybody. These people are so wicked, and they're destroying our country. They're destroying our churches and our faith. Don't give in to it. Stay away from it. Watch your kids. It's real important. God protects them right now when they're little. But when they get past that age of accountability, that's when everything goes haywire. That's when the devil attacks them. Fill their hearts with Scripture. Fill their minds with Jesus Christ. Do not falter on that one important thing in their lives. I only made it to page 8, and I got a lot more to go, but we're going to quit here. If you're having problems in your home, if you're having, I tell this to a lot of people, and I know maybe no one here, but maybe someone on, if you're having problems with spirits in your house and stuff, go through your house, clean it out. Get rid of all your rock and roll music. Get rid of all your old movies. Get rid of all this garbage that, let me tell you something, when you find out that little diddly bop music that you're listening to had a child sacrificed for it so that it would be put out in the air and be successful, make them lot of money, those movies that are so demonic, and there's a lot of sacrificing going on for those movies to be successful, don't be complicit in what's going on. Guard your hearts and guard your children's hearts. We're in the last days. And people say, well, what do you mean finish right? It doesn't matter how you start, it matters how you finish. You finish right. God doesn't remember your sins from one day to the next if you ask for forgiveness. That's why it's so important to finish right. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for this lesson. Lord, I know it was hard. I pray that, Lord, that I got my points across that you wanted me to give. Lord, help us. I know that time is near. I know that we're going home soon. Lord, help us all to finish right and to do right according to your word. Blessed be your holy and righteous name. For asking in Jesus Christ, my blessed Lord and Savior, and bless the pastor. Give him the strength to preach. And Lord, we thank him. We thank you for our pastor, what he's done through you. Blessed be your name. For asking in Jesus Christ, amen.